that Jonathan Edwards asked, and it said, the first one was, if you knew that you were going to die and be in eternity next week, how would you live life differently? And then the second one was, why aren't you living that way now? You see, David, in that video, he didn't know that he had 3 weeks left to live. He's like us. We think that we have time. We have plenty of time. But he didn't know that he had only 3 weeks. We have been gone for 2.5 months, over 2.5 months since the last time I was here. And we traversed Canada back and forth in 2.5 months. And it went by so fast. I mean, I can't believe I'm already back here preaching again in what seemed to be just the blink of an eye, how fast it went. How do you know that you don't have 3 weeks? How do you know you're not like David right now? He's somewhere. He's in eternity. I don't know if he's saved. I don't know if he repented. He heard the message. He seemed to have responded, but I don't know where he is. God does. You're still alive. You still have life. So I hope that you hear this message today and you would think about the brevity of life, and that God is in control of all things. Let's pray before I give you my message here. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of coming here and being able to share your word. Lord, I ask that you give me wisdom, that I can impart wisdom to the hearers, Lord, through your Spirit speaking through me. Lord, do a work here today. Give people ears to hear, Lord, that your word, let it fall on good ground today, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We're here only because of you, Lord. So, Lord, now as we go through your word, I ask, Lord, that it would just be a blessing to the hearers today, Lord. And we love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my message is going to be from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 16. So I hope this message makes you think about how quick our life is and the things of God. Okay, we're going to read from Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, Jesus gives us this parable because obviously it was important to the Lord for us to hear this. And, you know, in the parable, there's many names for this parable. I mean, you can go to sermon audio and look at all the different sermons on it. Here's some of them. It can be called the rich fool. the poor rich fool, the rich farmer, the rich foolish farmer, etc. You can go through all them. I'm just going to call it time and the fool. This message won't be so much on the wealth and gain and abundance, although I will touch on that topic, but it's more going to be on time and God's sovereignty. And we'll start with the first part of it. And he says, Jesus said, the ground of a certain rich man, and we'll stop right there. We see God is sovereign over men right there. A certain rich man. God allows some men to be rich, and he allows some to be poor. I mean, right here in Proverbs 22:2, it says, the rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is maker of them all. So God is sovereign over man and his what he possesses. I mean, look at yourself. You were born at a certain time. You were born to a certain family in a certain part of the world. God is sovereign over that, out of every part of every man's life. God has ordained all the factors that are happening in your life. God has ordained that. And he continues on and he says, and the next part is he brought forth plentiful. God determines what a person possesses. In John 3:27, John the Baptist answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given from him from heaven. Everything that we have, it's from God. God has given us all of what we have, what we possess. He says, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? You hear what he's saying? He said, what shall I do? He was not thinking on God. He didn't seek God's counsel, but his own. The Bible says that he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Why didn't he go to the wonderful counselor? Why didn't he go to who has all wisdom? The Bible says that if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us liberally. Do you seek God's counsel in your life? Think about it. When you have big things happening in your life, whether it's buying a house or a car or college, do you go to God and you ask for his counsel? Do you seek him with your whole heart on a matter? Not just throw up a prayer, but do you seek him? Do you wrestle with God in your prayer over matters that are very important for your life and for your family? So many of us, we do that. We just kind of go on our lives. And I think I was here last. I think I mentioned it. I think it was John Piper said, he says, when we are prayerless, he says, that's a sense of pride. Saying, God, I could do this without you. I'll just get you for the big things. But do we seek him for all of our things? For everything that's happening in our lives? I know I look for my help from God. When I have problems and they blindside me, I don't want to be looking. Yes, I want godly counsel from gody men. I want that. But my first focus should be upward, thinking, God, this situation. God is the one who is in control of it all. So why wouldn't I go to him? Look to Christ. Look to Christ in everything. And he said, what shall I do? for I have nowhere to bestow my fruit. Listen to what he did not say. He did not say, what shall I do for you, Lord? He said, what shall I do? He didn't say, what shall I do for others? We'd live in a day that everyone is so self-absorbed. It's all about me. I heard someone say it's get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. That's our mottos. My friend Jerry Osborne, more out in the open air, he preaches about this to people. And it's great because everyone is so self-absorbed with themselves. He preaches about the magazines that are out there. Self magazine. Self-help books. I mean, one of the biggest sellers is the Joel Osteen book, right? Your Best Life Now. It's not about you. What is your focus on? Scriptures teach us. Here, I'm going to read this. You guys can just listen. It's from Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 in the NASB version. It says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. I just want to read it again to you. I'm going to read the what we just read, but I'm going to read it with emphasis in a different way. Just listen to it. It's going to be the personal. It says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits. This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, it was all about him. It was all about him. I heard it said that the devil, he did the same thing, right? He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Said he had an eye problem. Just like this man here. It was an eye problem. It was all about him. He says, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits. God had different plans for him, didn't he? Man makes his plans. But God has other plans. That's why it's so important to be in the will of God, to be in God's word, and to be praying to God about your life and where things are going, and that he would guide you. He said, my and I. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all God's. Everything that we have, it's all God's, that what I have and what you have. And we're out on the streets. We're talking to people and we're out there. And people say, it's my body. I'll do what I want with it. No. No, that's the wrong attitude. It's not your body. It's been loaned to you by God. And there is a day when you're going to give an account to God. The Bible says we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account for what we did in the body, whether good or evil. Now, as a Christian, we're redeemed. We've been brought out of darkness. Our sins have been paid for through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But I still want to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to God. I want to live a life that when I get before him, he says, well done. Because it was well done. Because God did something with me and worked through me. Not that I could say, I did it. But I could say, God, you did it through me. And someday we're all going to give an account. And that's a sobering thought. That we will give an account of our life. It says, and then he says, I will say to my soul. Right there shows he was very carnal minded. And the Bible says that a carnal mind is an enemy of God. He didn't seek the lover of souls, Jesus Christ. But he said within himself. The Bible says that the wicked man, God is in none of his thoughts. He's concerned and self-absorbed with his own life. The things that are temporal. He's not thinking about things of eternity. The Bible says that the wicked, his belly is his God. What's important in your life? Is God number one? Are you living for him? Or are you living for self? And then he says here, he says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Once again, he thinks that the goods that he has are his. And he finds rest and peace in that. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? It's all God's. And someday we're all going to give an account. It says, riches profit nothing on the day of judgment. And the other part of the fool is that he thought that he had many years. He said, I'm going to take my ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's today. We live in that day. Live for now. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about the future. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. No one's guaranteed tomorrow. Some people say when we're out there on the streets, you talk to them and they say, if God is all forgiving and I just got to cry out to him to forgive my sins, that's great. I'll do that when I'm older. But right now, I want to have fun. Right now, I want to enjoy my time and have fun with my friends. How foolish is that? Yes, it's true that God can forgive us. Yes, that's true. But to think that you have tomorrow, to think that you have years ahead of you, that is foolish. That is foolish. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end, therefore, is death. You may think, oh, everything looks great. Everything's going good. I'm okay. The end, therefore, is death. We talk about people out there who are very sincere in their beliefs, but most of them are sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not the degree. trusting in Christ alone. Trusting in Christ. He says, I will take mine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't thinking about the day of his death, nor was he thinking about the judgment day. He was thinking about that day. I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. So many people, they plan parties. They plan weddings. They plan vacations. They plan their retirement. They plan funerals. No one plans where they're going to spend eternity. The most important thing. Now, I know, I'm not saying everybody. I'm sure there's people in here who love the Lord and have thought about that. But, you know, we plan so many things. We think, okay, I'm gonna retire. And then what I'll do, I'll go golf. Or I'll go collect seashells with my time. Bible never talks about anything like that. Doesn't talk about retirement. Think we want to enjoy our lives. Enjoy your life. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. He who denies himself and takes up his cross and follows me. So it's not like Joel Osteen would say, your best life now. It's about denying yourself now and realizing how little time we really do have. God said to him, the fool thought one way, but God in his sovereignty, or being a sovereign ruler, overruled what the fool thought. Because God is sovereign over everything. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. He is the sovereign ruler, maker, keeper of our life, of all things. And who can say to him, what doest thou? He is sovereign. That means that he does. I heard someone say, sovereignty is God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants. And he doesn't answer to no one. He's sovereign. But the fool was thinking otherwise. Somehow the fool thought that he had plans. There's a day appointed where we're going to die and we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account of our life. It's not by random chance. It's not by happenstance. It is a divine appointment that God has planned before the foundation of the world, that you're going to have a certain amount of time to live your life. You have a certain number of days. When God takes you home on that day, it's not going to be early or late. It's going to be an appointed time. And we have to remember that. And we should live our lives that way, knowing that we have an appointed time. Just like David. Just like David. I mean, think about the question that Jonathan Edwards asked. Let's just say, if you knew you had 3 weeks left, how would you live your life differently? And we don't know. We don't know how long we have. It goes on, and he says, I like the King James Version of the way it says it. He says, thou fool. Webster's dictionary says that a fool is a person lacking judgment or prudence. But I like even better than the way Webster says it. I like the way God says it in his scriptures. He says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That is, I mean, come on, that is foolishness. And that fool was a fool not only because He did not think about God, nor was he in any of the thoughts, but just the way that he lived his life, not thinking about God being in control and sovereign over everything. I mean, we should be saying, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. Matthew Henry, he said, writes, the carnal worldling are fools, and the day is coming when God will call them by their name, thou fool. And they will also call themselves fools on that day. I just want to go to Psalm 73. You can listen if you want. Anyway, Psalm 73, he says, part of it says, I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, it says their eyes bulge in abundance. There's no pain in their deaths. But at the end of that, it says, and in a moment, they were utterly consumed with terror. We look at people, you know, the rich people, the stars. Oh, they look like they have it all. They're some of the most miserable people. Oh, thank you. Trying to tell me something? No, thanks. So, I mean, we need to be focused on, I heard it said, like, keeping one eye on heaven and one eye on hell. That's the way we should live our lives. And he said, this night, your soul shall be required of thee. God is the one who took his soul. God required it. And God's going to require yours someday. He's going to require your soul. Bible says that heaven rejoices. The precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. So when your soul is going to, it's precious. This guy, his what was precious to him were his goods and his things and his comfort. What's precious to you? I think precious is defined on how rare something is or how few of them that there are. The value is based on that. And Christ is precious. There's only one. And that should be precious to us. He should be what we focus on. The fool said here, he said, years. I have much goods laid up for years. But God said tonight. The fool had big plans. But God said tonight. He overruled once again this man's plans, showing that he was sovereign. The Bible says that man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. And knowing that God is in control, that I can have peace, even when it seems like the world around me is giving way, when I'm getting blindsided by things that are happening in my life that I just can't understand, when I do something wrong and I make a mistake, I can still know that God is in control. And by that, I can have peace. I can have peace in that. Let me see if I can find it right here. I'm going to go to Psalm 139. I'm reading out of the one-year Bible, so it's hard for me to find the stuff in here. But let me see. Okay, I'm almost there. Psalm 139, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. Okay, here it is. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind me and before, and then laid thy hand upon me. That is reassuring. That is comforting to understand. I don't even have the word on my tongue, but God knows it. He knows my getting up and my getting sitting down. Bible says that his thoughts towards me, okay. His thoughts towards me are more than the sands of the sea, and he knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows everything about me. And in that, I can have peace. I can have peace in God being sovereign. Thou fool. So let's see what we can learn today. Where am I here? Sorry. We're not like the fool, right? We're not like him. He's just the guy in the book, right? We're not like that. We're not concerned so much in the things of this world, in the stuff that glitters. You know, we're not concerned about all this wealth. You know, what does it say? It says you never see a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it, right? Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. They asked Rockefeller, one of the richest men, his lawyer, after he died, they said to him, how much did he leave? And the lawyer said, he left it all. Couldn't take it with him. I think he also said the cares of 200 million would kill any man. Yeah, it's not wrong to have wealth. It's not wrong to have these things. But if that's your God, Jesus said you can't serve God and money. I heard someone say that you'll know someone, what's important to them, by just reading their checkbook, what's important in their lives. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven. That's good. Because, like I said, it's all gonna perish. It's all gonna burn someday, and we can't take it with us. And then it continues to say, and so is he who lay up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's where the story changes now. He was talking to the fool, but now he's talking to us. That man placed his trust in uncertain riches. And he also assumed he had plenty of time to enjoy them too. Think about your life. Think about what is important and what are you doing with the time you have. So let me go. Oh, so what can we learn from the fool? First, the fool was about personal gain and temporal gain. Are we, as Christians, considering others' interests more important than our own? Are we squandering our lives for God's kingdom, for His glory? The fool was spiritually bankrupt, but we have riches in Christ. Not financially, but in Christ. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Second, the fool deceived himself to think that he had plenty of time. He thought as if death was some far off thing. It was far off. We, as Christians, must live our lives thinking about eternity. Thinking about things eternal, keeping an eye on heaven, an eye on hell, the day of our death. Not in a morbid, unhealthy type of way, but in a way that keeps us focused and realize that we're just mortal here. We're slowly perishing. The Bible says we're like a flower that blossoms, the wind blows over it, and its place is remembered no more. That's our life, a vapor. Think about that. Think about how quick. Picture your age. I look at myself. I'll be having a birthday October 4th. I'll be 48. And I look back and I go, where did it go? Where did it go? It seems like it was 5 minutes ago. I like I was saying before, 2.5 months since I last been here, and it just seems like, boom, I'm back. Time is precious. It's valuable. And we're not in control of it. God is. So we must think about that. Think about our eternity. Yes, I'm all for being good Christians and good stewards of the earth that God has given us, and to helping our fellow man, and be concerned with the affairs of other men that are going through things in this life. But ultimately, I'm thinking of eternity. I'm thinking of the day that I stand before God and I get to see him in all of his glory. That's what my life reflects, that it revolves around that. And lastly, the fool forgot that this is God's world and God is the one who is in control of it. My's and I's, that's all he kept saying was I and my and I. It's all God's. It's all his. I think John Calvin said it best. This is a quote from him. And he said, hence we may conclude that the parable was intended to show that vain are the deliberations and foolish attempts of those trusting in abundance and do not rely on God alone and are not prepared for whatever may befall them. And finally, such a person will suffer the penalty of their own folly. At the end of that video, the cross came up at the end. It said, are you ready? And that pastor preached on that. Are you ready? Are you ready to give an account to the one who gave you life, to God who rules and reigns, who sits on his throne, who is going to judge this world in righteousness? Are you ready to stand before him? Because if you're not, you're like the fool. If you're not absolutely sure that you are a child of God, that your sins have been forgiven, that you stand on the word of God and you trust it, then you're a fool. This Bible, it says, these things are written that you may know. And let me tell you, if you pass out of this life into the next without searching God's word, and searching for God, then you are a fool. There's a thing. It's a small little thing. You probably all had heard it before, but it's about the jester with the king. And the king gives the jester a golden rod, a golden scepter. And he says, go out into the kingdom. And I says, I want you to give this golden scepter to anyone who's a bigger fool than you. So he goes out and he goes to the kingdom and he's looking for a fool bigger than himself. But then he hears that the king is dying and he goes back and he goes to the king and he says, sir, have you made preparations for your long journey into the next life? Have you made preparations? Have you prepared? And the king says, no, I haven't. I haven't thought about those things. And the jester hands the king the golden scepter. The king was the biggest fool there because he did not make preparations, did not think about his eternity. And today, if you're here and you have not thought about that, I plead with you today to think about your eternal destiny, to think about your life, how short it is, how quick it goes by. And to think that you have another day is insanity, because none of us are guaranteed another day. God in his mercy sent his own son to come to this earth to die a criminal's death that you deserve for your rebellion and your sin against God. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is love. He crushed them, and it pleased God to crush his own son on the cross so that guilty sinners could be made right with God. And if you're out there today and you have not been covered under the blood of Jesus or cleansed by his blood or humbled yourself and cried out to God to save you from your sin, I plead with you to think about that. About the mercy of God, that God was so merciful. And God demonstrated his love in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That is love. And how can you reject the good news, reject the love of God, and die in your sins and be God's enemy forever? That is foolish. But there is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is hope today, and it's found in Christ alone. 2,000 years ago, God sent his own son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. Although he was tempted in every way, he went to the cross and died a criminal's death. Although he did nothing wrong, although he was loving and compassionate and merciful, did nothing wrong, went to that cross, and on that cross, he bled and died. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And God crushed his own son because it pleased him to. And then he died and was laid in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And that is the victory as Christians that we have today, is that Christ is a risen Savior. We're not worshiping a dead prophet or a dead God. We're worshiping a risen Savior who rules and reigns in heaven and is coming back again to judge the living and the dead. So I plead with you today to think about your destiny and how fast your life is going by. Think about that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for these brothers and sisters here, Lord. I ask you to just bless them, Lord, and let your spirit fill this place. Let them continually seek you, Lord. Let them be faithful. Give them spirits of thinking on others, Lord, greater than themselves. That there's a lost and dying world out there, Lord. Let them have compassion and use them in a mighty way, Lord. Bless this church. Bless the brothers, Lord. Bless the elders. May they preach your word. May they continue to lift up Christ, exalt Jesus Christ in all that they do and say. Thank you for this day, Lord. May we go out and have the joy of the Lord as our strength. May we enjoy our time together. May we have sweet fellowship. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you that you give good gifts to your children, Lord. I praise you, Lord, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.